Marla, all died, leaving unfinished pieces of work. A lot more recently, a little bit over, well, about a year and a half ago, some of you may remember it, back in February 2014, the actor Philip Seymour Hoffman died at the relatively young age of 46. And at the time of his death, Hoffman had film roles that he had begun, but which remained unfinished. Now, by way of contrast to that building, and to the lives and the unfinished work that I just referred to, God's word this morning reminds us that the Lord says something important about the transforming work he does in a person's life. God says this: I've started, so I'll finish. And I guess that's what I want you to remember from God's word this morning. God says this in relation to your life and his work in your life: I've started, so I'll finish. Unlike so much in life that remains unfinished, what God begins, he does finish. He will bring his work in your life to completion. God is not the author of unfinished business. And God does a work in an ordinary person's life. That's me. That's you. We are ordinary people, called by God, chosen by him, and he has begun a work in us. And Paul writes here in this letter to a bunch of ordinary people, Christians, in a place called Philippi. And he's writing these words around about 10 years after the church that he's talking to was first set up. Paul was involved in the foundation of that church. And he's hoping to encourage Christians there to keep on growing in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what he underlines for them here in verse 6. Of Philippians chapter 1. He says this: being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What the Lord starts, he finishes. What he begins, he completes. Now these two words, begin, began, completion, according to Charles Swindoll, they represent opposite ends of, or if you like, the bookends of life. The one who started, the one who began this work in you, in your life, he will complete it, he will perfect it. Now this Greek word that's translated began in verse 6, it appears in just one other place in the New Testament. In Paul's writings again, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, Paul rebukes his readers. Are you so foolish, he writes, after beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? So in both cases, in both times Paul uses this word, it describes those first moments of Christian faith, when that new life begins in someone's heart. And then the other word, the Greek word that we translate as completed or completion, it comes from the same root word that Jesus uses on the cross. You know, where it says, before he gave up his spirit, Jesus says, it is finished. It is accomplished. It's complete. All that's needed to be done has been done. So, the message to me, the message to you, from God's word is this: the transforming work that the Lord by his Spirit began in me when my heart first was changed by him, when I first submitted my life to Jesus Christ, That work that he began then, he will continue to do, and he will bring it to completion when my earthly life has run its course. Now, this is a confident word from Paul. We know that because that's what he says. He says, I'm confident of this in verse 6. I'm sure, I'm absolutely convinced. And the basis of Paul's confidence clearly isn't on himself. He's not saying, I'm confident of who I am, how wonderful I am. No, he says, I'm confident because of who God is. Paul has 100% confidence in God's saving, justifying, sanctifying work in a believer's life. And if you care to look through the Bible, you will find that. You will find God's people have confidence in who he is. You go back into the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, chapter 14, after spying out the promised land, Joshua and Caleb go back and tell the Israelites, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, and he will give it to us. They were extremely confident. Another bunch of spies were far from confident, but well, they were confident in the fact that God wasn't going to do that. Why? Because they looked at themselves. Joshua and Caleb said, we know who God is. That's where we place our confidence, and we believe what God tells us. When the prophet Elisha is in a bit of a tough spot in the city of Dothan, the city is surrounded by the enemy, and all of them want to sort the prophet out. In 2 Kings 6:16, Elisha expresses confidence in God, and he tells his servant to open his eyes and not to be afraid, because those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Elisha's confident in God. King David writes this in Psalm 20, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Confidence in God, whatever the circumstances. There's a guy called Habakkuk. Unusual name. And if you read that little book amongst the minor prophets, you'll see at the end of Habakkuk has gone through a bit of a journey, and he gets to this point in Habakkuk chapter 3. He says this, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Saviour. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go to the heights. Confidence in God. Paul is supremely confident. He is absolutely convinced of the growth of Christian character in the lives of believers and the growing impact of the gospel that will change people's lives as God, as the Lord, continues to build his church. Why? Because God completes what he begins. When the Lord starts something, he finishes it. Now consider what that means to you as you sit here today. For every person who has handed their life over to Jesus Christ, he's not finished with you. God hasn't finished with you. There's a lifetime's work going on in your heart. The Holy Spirit is going to sort you out. And he does that day by day. Why? Because what the Lord begins, he finishes. you realize that? Do you recognize it? Are you thankful for it? Of course, we can play our part in stunting our own spiritual growth. We can stay away from the things that the Lord will use to do his work. We can stay away from his word. We can say, well, I don't really see the importance of getting together like this with other believers. We can refuse to step out in faith and trust God. We can be people who hear the word, but don't do it, as James warns us against. We can stunt our growth. It's not God's fault. But for those of us who desire an ongoing purifying work of the Holy Spirit, those of us who are not satisfied with how we are now, we're desperately keen that more of Jesus is seen in us today than it was yesterday, and also desiring that more of him will be seen in us tomorrow than it is today. The Bible reminds us here that the Lord, by his Spirit, will never stop working. It's all about him. The Living Bible paraphrase of this verse of Philippians 1 verse 6 is this: and I am sure that God, who began the good work within you, will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until his task within you is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns. See what Paul says. I'm confident of God's work in you. He's saying to the Christians there in Philippi, hey, I remember back 10 years when there was no church here. And I remember those of you who were the first believers in that church. Look at you now. Look what God has done. And as you look at that, don't just stay looking at that, but look ahead in confidence of what God is going to continue to do, what he's doing now, what he's going to continue to do in the days, months, and years ahead. See, my confidence is on the Lord's past, present, and future work in my heart and life. I have been saved. I am being saved. I will be saved. Stuart Briscoe writes this: this is a great truth we must not forget. The beginning of spiritual experience is not the end, nor is our new birth from above the complete life. It just isn't good enough to be satisfied with a work of Christ that saves from hell but leaves one happy to go on living there. Nor is it satisfactory to be forgiven for failure to produce fruit to the glory of God and then be perfectly satisfied to go on as fruitless as ever. There's a work to be done. And the motivating force of this work is the one who started the whole thing in the first place. He continues in order to complete. Truth is, you are as godly, as spiritual, as close to the Lord as you really want to be today. Some of us can blame a lot of things or people. You know, we live in a blame culture. Something goes wrong, something happens, we want to blame someone. Don't blame God for the lack of progress in your Christian life. Because the Bible tells me this: God has started a work in you, and he will complete it But don't blame him for the fact that you're nowhere or you stopped in a certain place. There was a guy called Augustus Montague Toplady. I bet he loved his parents. If it wasn't bad enough that his surname was Toplady, they gave him the name Augustus Montague. I bet he was picked on at school. Anyway, he was the author of Rock of Ages. And he also penned other hymns. One of them is called A Debtor to Mercy Alone. He wrote it back in 1771. And that hymn includes these words. The work which his goodness began, the arm of his strength will complete. His promise is yea and amen, and never was forfeited yet. Things future, nor things that are now, nor all things below or above, can make him his purpose forego or sever my soul from his love. What was this guy saying? Well, what God begins, he completes. See it out the course of my life. It's a chorus that I remember singing. I don't remember singing it for a while. It was written by Marilyn Baker. It goes like this. I won't sing it to you. It's not a good idea. I've got a moving voice. When I sing, people move. So let me just read this to you. Marilyn Baker wrote these words. Jesus, you are changing me. By your spirit, you're making me like you. Jesus, you're transforming me. That your loveliness may be seen in all I do. You're the potter. I'm the clay. Help me to be willing to let you have your way. Jesus, you are changing me as I let you reign supreme within my heart. Is that your testimony? Is that your prayer of praise today? You know, I find this incredibly encouraging. The more I think about this, God hasn't finished with me. I'm not the finished article. And I won't be until my dying day. For every person here, whether you think you're just beginning your life or it's coming to its close, God says this, I'm still doing a work in you. I've begun it. And one day I'll complete it. Jesus is both the author and the perfecter of my faith. That does me the world of good. Max Lucado tells the following story. He writes this, over 100 years ago, a group of fishermen were relaxing in the dining room of a Scottish seaside inn, trading fish stories. One of the men gestured widely, depicting the size of the fish that got away. His arm struck the serving maid's tea tray, sending the teapot flying into the whitewashed wall, where its contents left an irregular brown splotch. The innkeeper surveyed the damage and sighed, the whole wall will have to be repainted. Perhaps not, offered a stranger. Let me work with it. Having nothing to lose, the proprietor consented, and the man pulled pencils, brushes, some jars of linseed oil and pigment out of an art box. He stretched lines around the stains and dabbed shades and colours throughout the splashes of tea. In time, an image began to emerge, a stag with a great rack of antlers. And then the man inscribed his signature at the bottom, and he paid for his meal, and he left. His name was Sir Edwin Landseer, famous painter of wildlife. in his hands, a mistake became a masterpiece. You get the point. Lucado observes, God's hands do the same over and over. He draws together the disjointed blotches in our life and renders them an expression of his love. We become pictures, examples of the incredible wealth of his favor and kindness towards us, as Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2. We're pictures. We're examples for others to see, for others to look at. What God can do, how God can transform a life. It's a lady who lives just opposite to us. Her name's Val. She comes to our church. And Val has a transformed life. And she grew up in East London. She had a really tough upbringing. She was in a very abusive relationship. She was an alcoholic. Her life was a total mess. And she met, in her own words, she met Jesus Christ in a fish and chip shop in Lincoln. The guy who owned the fish and chip shop, it was a Christian, and he used to leave these little leaflets on his counter. And Val, in the depths of despair, was in there, and she grabbed a leaflet, and she says, Jesus Christ met me in a fish and chip shop in Lincoln. And he transformed my life. And since we've been in Torquay, I have met relatives who have met Val for the first time in years, and they remember her, the mess of her life. And I remember someone saying to me, I cannot believe the transformation who Val is. Now, if you talk to Val, she will say, God's still working at me. Why? Because what God begins, he finishes. My parents had a radiogram at home. You remember radiogram? They have records. Amazing, these things that went round and round. You could hear music out of them. I don't know what happened to them. But we went to see the Bill Gaither Trio. If you like that kind of music, I know one of the things you could do with Woodsy is sort him out in terms of some of his musical tastes. Last night he was going through playing some of the stuff he likes. Enjoy it on earth because it won't be in heaven. And I guess, I mean, I would say the Bill Gaither Trio are like country music. It's a bit painful, really. A bit painful. If you like it, I do apologise. You've probably already gone off me. But hey, my parents would play it. I remember the Bill Gaither Trio used to play it on a Sunday on the radiogram. And the words, something beautiful, something good, all my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life. Can I do your heart good? You're not the believer you are because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus Christ, what the Holy Spirit, what God in his grace and mercy has done in your life. And there's more that he wants to do. Will you let him? Just think about the life that you lead. Think about the things that you say, stuff that you do. You know, we can all pull our hands up and say, oh, just think back, even this past week, oh, I wish I'd not said that. Put my foot in it again. You know, Paul says, oh, what a wretched man I am. But then he turns to the Lord and he turns to Jesus Christ. And God says, I haven't finished with you. Started a work, and one day I'm going to complete it. And it's going on now. What's the work that God's doing in your life today? The work that God started to do in this church. It's an ongoing work. The Lord says, I will build my church. Interesting that, isn't it? Jesus says, I will build my church. Not your church. Jesus says it's my church. And I will build it. Will you let him? In Psalm 138, King David writes this, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. And that's my prayer. God, don't abandon your work in my life. Paul says, I'm confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the real privilege we have as we gather together in this way to turn our eyes towards you, Lord Jesus, and turn our ears to your voice, to your word. And we ask that by your Spirit, you would speak your word into our hearts and lives. Father, you know the reality of who we are this morning. We can put a good show on to others, perhaps. But you know the truth. You know that which we're pleased about in terms of our walk with you, and you also know that which we're frustrated about. And Lord, we recognize our human frailties, our weakness, our sin. But we thank you that our Christian life and witness does not rely on our own strength, but is centered on you, Lord Jesus. And so we turn to you again. And as we hear your word, we thank you for the promise, the confident promise here. And we want to go on putting our total trust in you. And say, Lord, would you go on molding and shaping us into the people that you want us to be, into the church community that you are building. And Lord, our desire is that as you do that, we might bring glory to you and also point others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, hear our prayers. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.